Welcome to Adventures in Real Estate. Darwin German has been an active real estate investor for over 30 years. He has bought, sold, managed, and owned over $400 million of real estate that includes homes, office, commercial, industrial, development, and apartments. He brings to you stories and interviews with partners and professionals to teach and educate you through actual real-life experiences. This is Adventures in Real Estate.
I get a phone call. I think your building is on the news. That is never a great call to get. This is Adventures in Real Estate with Darwin German, and here are one of those adventures. There's actually a backstory to this property. I took courses back in the early 90s, buying nothing down, getting all of these tools to put in my toolbox and different things to do. And I took those to heart and I learned from those and I bought a lot of property, but a lot of property, also nothing down. And you could do that earlier. You could do that better in the 90s when money was a little freer. However, I did find this property. There were three industrial buildings, two 20,000 square foot buildings and a 40,000 square foot building. These were located in Ferris, Texas. Ferris is known in the area as it's south of Dallas, and it's also where the dump is for Dallas. And this was a nice little industrial property. Like I said, three buildings. Well, I put this property under contract. And while I was under contract, I flipped one of the 20,000 square foot buildings, and I sold that to T. Boone Pickens' ex-wife to hold her antiques. Well, the way that I did that is I put those three buildings under contract. While they were under contract, I found a buyer for one of the 20,000 square foot buildings, T. Boone Pickens' ex-wife. So the day of closing came for me to buy these three properties, these three buildings and this one property. And on the day of closing, I bought and sold on the same day the 20,000 square foot building. It gave me enough profit to turn around and use that as the down payment for the other two buildings. Brilliant. Nothing down deal. Yay. I'm thrilled. I went ahead and bought this property. Nothing down. I made an $80,000 profit on my first part of it. Use that as the down payment for the rest of it. And I am absolutely thrilled. Well, go ahead and do that. Get it all closed. The first problem, and I learned most of my lessons by doing. And in this particular instance, I learned a very, very valuable, roughly $25,000 lesson. I bought these properties, nothing down. However, I made a profit on that first sale by flipping it the same day. Made an $80,000 profit. Well, I had to pay 30% taxes on that gain on money that I never saw. So at the end of the year, come tax time, I had to pay roughly $25,000 in taxes on that gain that I never saw. Very valuable lesson here. This was a $25,000 mistake that I learned from, and there's a way around that. What I should have done is bought and sold that first building to make that profit, and then just taken the extra step, would have cost me about $1,400, and did a 1031 exchange on that property to buy the other two pieces. Okay, follow. I don't know if you follow this or not, but a 1031 tax-deferred exchange is if you are selling a property, you can defer your taxes on that. You don't touch any of the money, and you roll it on to a similar property following all the 1031 guidelines, and you don't pay taxes on that gain. Well, if I would have done that, if I would have bought and sold that property the same day, use that $80,000, use an accommodator, just paperwork to go and get this done, and use that as the down payment on the other two properties, then I wouldn't have paid any taxes. So there's a $25,000 lesson. Just so you know, I've got over $1 million education in my mistakes, and there's the first $25,000 right there. Well, to continue on with the story, I leased the other two buildings out, getting a nice, healthy profit on this nothing down deal. So I lease out the 40,000 square foot building and I get a great tenant in there. And this is this tenant, what they do is they remanufacture airplane parts. So you get a part that has a crack in it, something like that. You send it over there, they redo it, fix it, everything else. They put a lot of money in tenant improvements. They had to build these little walls to make sure fluid stayed in the in this one area. They had to put up firewalls between different different parts of the office, different parts of the building. And they're going through and doing all this. They're in the small town of Ferris. And they don't quite have their certificate of occupancy yet, but the city says, yep, you can go ahead and you can be there. It's okay. Because all you had to do to get your final CO was move a couple of these electrical outlets. They have to be within 12 feet of each other, and these are 14 feet apart. So you just need to move them around and get that right, and we'll get you the CO. Well, shortly thereafter, that's when I get the phone call. I think your building is on the news. So I turn on the TV, and sure enough, there's a view from a helicopter circling my property, which has smoke billowing out of it. And it says two people dead on the bottom of the screen. And as I keep reading and listening, they say cyanide gas leaking from the building. The city is evacuated. Okay. So I'm the property owner. I'm looking at this saying cyanide gas is leaking from the building, two people dead, and they're evacuating the city. Not exactly sure what that means, but come to find out that there was two employees that were putting some chemical into a different 55-gallon drum that was not cleaned out properly from the previous chemical that was in there. There was an explosion from those chemicals reacting to each other. It shot flames up 30 feet in from that 55-gallon drum, burning a hole in the roof. It did kill one of the guys, unfortunately, and severely burned the other one, burned a hole in the ceiling, and started catching that on fire. Well, the volunteer fire department comes in. They come in there with their fire hoses with water. And anybody who's out there, you know, you think about this now, you're not supposed to spray water on a chemical fire. And so they spray water on the chemical fire, which makes it worse. It all steams up and lets out this very horrible gas smell. They think it's cyanide. They start running around to all of the businesses and all of the homes in the area saying, run for your life, cyanide gas is leaking out of the building. This includes the stores. So there's a convenience store right next door or very near that, that everybody just runs out and leaves. Well, now the fire department's in there trying to put out an electrical, a chemical fire with water, making it worse, making a bigger fire. They're in their full outfits, hot, trying to fight this in the summer. And they need something to drink also while they're out there doing that. They go into the convenience store, which nobody is working at. So they decide to go ahead and get whatever they need to out of there. I don't know if there's additional looting or anything else going on, but there's all these problems. Huge, huge issues. And all I can do is watch on the screen in horror going, oh my God. Well, that is scary enough. Well, the next part of your thought is first, oh my God, two people dead, which there was only one that died and one that had had bad burns, which is very sad on both counts anyway. We did have a property management company that was managing the property. They went out there. They're cleaning up the mess. They're helping take care of everything. And I think the lawsuits are going to start pouring in. Well, thankfully, another lesson that I had learned is how to actually take title to a property to protect it from lawsuits. in this particular instance, the way that it was done back in those days before the really common use of LLCs, which limited your liability, is you actually had a general partner who owned a very, very, very small part of a limited partnership. And then myself and my father were limited partners, and the limited partners had limited risk. The only people that could be sued was a general partner. So because of that setup, they knew that if they sued the general partner would just fold up shop as a shell corporation, and they would never get anything out of it. At least that was the way it was explained by my attorneys when I set the whole thing up. But thankfully, it was put in that fashion that I didn't even get a phone call from a lawyer. Now, there were ambulance chasers chasing anybody hurt, anybody damaged, and trying to do big lawsuits on everybody. But thankfully, I was never involved in any of those. And I really attribute that to the structure of how we bought the property. Now, that's a very valuable lesson in that part of it. Now, just to finish up with the story, the city then, because of all those problems, came in there and told the business, there is no way we will ever give you a certificate of occupancy because of this problem that we had right here. So they would have had it. And if they would have had the CO, then they would have been able to reopen their business just by fixing everything. But now they said, nope, no more CO. So that was a big problem as well. So that company goes out of business. They get sued because of the damages and the liability. They fold up shop. They go out of business. I lose a tenant. I have a vacancy. And the city of Ferris certainly does not want me in that building. So, or at least doesn't want that tenant in the building. So long story short, or shorter, I should say, I ended up selling that building. I still made a nice profit on it overall, even with all the headache. I did not get sued. As investors, which were my dad and I, even though it was nothing down, we could have been sued if we would have taken title to that differently. And the biggest lesson on that one is the $25,000 lesson. If you're doing something like that, use a 1031 exchange so that you don't have to pay taxes. My nothing down deal turned out and ended up costing me the taxes that I made on money that I never saw. So that's just a quick rundown of my warehouse property that made it on the news in Ferris, Texas. Hope you learned something from it. I learned a lot, and that's just part of the $1 million education from mistakes that I've made. And luckily, I got all those out of the way before I became a sponsor. The worst seller ever. This is Darwin German with another episode of Adventures in Real Estate. I want to tell you about the worst seller you could possibly deal with. Now, our normal process is Julian and I are out there scouring the landscape for properties to buy. We're scouring the market all over the place. We analyze hundreds of properties before we buy one. Well, we found a great deal. We found a property that we really liked and we wanted to move ahead on. So we negotiated a LOI, got accepted, negotiated a contract, got that accepted. I put up the $100,000 non-refundable earnest money deposit, which is what I normally do. I take the risk on that so my investors do not have to take the risk. And we put this property under contract. Well, I'm going to tell you the whole story from a reversionary look at this. Now, unbeknownst to me at the time, that seller decided to terminate his maintenance people on the day the contract was signed. So no more maintenance, no more make ready, no more trash outs. He terminated some of the office staff, no more leasing, canceled advertising, no more advertising, people coming in. He basically cut the expenses drastically to make himself more money while the property was under contract. Now, that is against what's in the contract. The contract states that they need to operate the property in the same or similar fashion to what it is when we put it under contract. So that was a violation that we did not know about until later. However, we start going through the process, and this is a loan assumption. Loan assumption is going to take longer anyway. We do our due diligence. We walk all the units, get our budgets done, get all the inspections done, apply for the financing, do our private placement memorandum, and start raising money. Well, within about 30 days, we have all the money raised for our deal, about $6 million. And we're ready to close as soon as the loan gets, as soon as the loan assumption is completed. Well, we started looking into, again, still part of the due diligence, and we found that the insurance company had paid the seller insurance proceeds, which he apparently endorsed in the name of the lender and put it in his own bank account. Now, that is essentially theft. That is a default on his loan. But once it was discovered and his lender found out about it, they said, oh, wait a minute. You need to go do all this. The money that you received needed to go in to fix these units that you had a fire on. Actually, fire and some of them flood. You need to go fix all this per what the insurance company paid. Well, he was just trying to pocket that money. So we had a delay while the insurance company and the lender discovered that, and then he had to go back and fix that. So that was a 3-month delay. Again, during that time, we did not know at this time, no maintenance, no leasing, no trash outs, a horrible condition of the property. Well, that was coming through, and he had to go through and fix all of those insurance problems. He had to get that work completed. Well, that work and other work that he did, he tried to do on the cheap without city inspections. So once the city discovered it and he had to get COs on those units and have the city inspect it, now they came back and said, oh, wait a minute, you did not do these things right. You need to go back and do these things. So we had another 2-month delay while he was getting that done. So now we're over 5 months into it. We've got cash in the bank to close. We're ready to go on all this. We work with him through this entire process. There was actually a couple other problems in there that I don't even remember off the top of my head because these were so egregious. I mean, insurance fraud, theft, everything horrible. We get down to the point where it's time to, okay, finally, the lender is all okay with everything. The city's okay with everything. The insurance company is okay with everything, all of which we had to push through and make him do. We get down to about 2 weeks before closing and go do another inspection to make sure everything's all good. And we find out that they've gone from 10 vacant units to 25 vacant units, none of which have been made ready, most of which have not even been trashed out. So we said, whoa, wait a minute. You were supposed to have at least 15 of these units made ready. Well, that's an extra $3,000 a piece. So there's $45,000 you owe us. Plus, you needed to pay for this and this and these other items that he just did not do. So we went back to him and said, look, we're ready to close. We have the money. We have the approval. We have everything ready to go. Well, he basically said, no, you can close it as is or don't do the deal. Part of the thing in negotiating, the one with the most to lose does. Well, in the meantime, during that 5-month period, he's had every broker chasing him trying to get a listing on his property and every one of them telling him that they could get more money for the property. So we had it under contract. I think it was $12.5 million. And he had every broker saying, I can get you $13 million, $14 million. So he really wanted me to cancel the contract so he can get more money. Plus, he had my non-refundable earnest money deposit. So between the problems, him not wanting to negotiate, him not wanting to do everything, I had to make the decision to lose money and pull out of the deal and give all of our investors 100% of their money back. or to go through and buy it with a whole lot more expenses, a whole lot more deferred maintenance, a whole lot more problems than we would have had to begin with. Well, those extra vacancies, the lease-up costs, the maintenance costs, the other stuff that was deferred, 5 months worth of not doing any maintenance, all those expenses added up to the point where it was driving my return lower than I wanted for that property. So I basically did the same thing. I drew a line in the sand, said, no, we need to get X amount of dollars off this to pay for this money that you stole basically from us because of not doing that maintenance. And he refused. Well, basically we were at an impasse and I wasn't going to go back and do that because I had no idea what else he may have hid, what else he may have hid beneath a coat of paint or some other problem. So I actually had to cancel the transaction, lose the earnest money deposit, and give our investors their money back. But I thought that was preferable to risking our investors $6 million in capital. So that just goes to show you that we're doing everything we can to look out for the partners. We're inspecting everything. We're looking at everything. We're negotiating the best deal possible. And even if it's to our detriment, we're walking away if need be. But this particular seller was horrible. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Like I said, there's so much more I can say. But quite honestly, my lawyer also does not want me to say too much more about some of this, some of these items. So I'll just have to keep quiet on those. But watch out there. There are very unscrupulous people. There are very poor sellers. There are people that are out there just to absolutely take advantage of the property, take advantage of situations, and just out there to scrape every penny out of there, no matter who they hurt. Residents, people they're in business with, or even have a contract with. So again, watch out. That's what we do. We do it for you. We do it for our partners. We do it to create win-win situations. So thank you very much. Everybody, have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Real Estate. Please share this information with family and friends so that they too can benefit and learn from Darwin German's experiences. If you are interested in learning more or even becoming a partner or investor with Darwin German, please go to darwingerman.com. Follow your dreams and invest in real estate.